Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
Doncaster, Melbourne, Australia, saying hello to everybody on Blog Talk Radio that's tuned in to the Team of Voices. Very happy to be here for our normal, everyday, weekly show that we have that goes back to Saturday night in the US. And I'm particularly pleased today because I have a whole stack of people who are helping me out. And we have the wonderful Deborah Lee, who looks after our group of the Team of Voices, and we'll say hello to you when you come in. Hi, Deb. How are you?
I am well. How are you?
I'm well. And we then have my friend Jay Hatter, who was responsible for the words and lyrics of that song that we just heard from Shouting and Chop. Hi, Hatter. How are you?
I'm okay, AP.
Excellent. And then we also have, just to complete the set, like we have all the suits of the card deck, none other than Sweet Pea. How are you going, Sweet?
I'm doing well. How are you, AP?
I am very well. I'm very well.
Good.
So we have an open poetry show. So we have a whole heap of contributors who put poems on the board. But I thought today, Deb, we might start with the classic poem that you have chosen, unless you're on a hurry, sweet. If you're on a time crunch, I'm very
kind of
your poem on the board, right? Are you?
I am kind of, but
okay.
But I want to hear the I want to hear the classic poem.
Do you? Okay. Well,
I do.
I'll do a classic poem, then I'll do. Okay. Well, let's do that. Deb,
all right.
I want to say a few words about why you chose the classic poem that you chose.
Well, when I go looking for them, I look for stuff that I think, for one, that you would enjoy reading, for two,
yes,
that maybe everyone hasn't heard, and for three,
yes,
that sort of has a message with it. And, like, this just felt right today, so.
Excellent. So, because we're going to Charlotte Bronte to start with, this is a poem called Life, and it goes a little bit like this. Life, believe, is not a dream so dark as sages say. Oft a little morning rain foretells a pleasant day. Sometimes there are clouds of gloom, but these are transient all. If the shower will make the roses bloom, oh, why lament its fall? Rapidly, merrily, like sunny hours flit by. Gratefully, cheerily, enjoy them as they fly. What though death at times steps in and calls our best away? What though sorrow seems to win o'er hope a heavy sway? Yet hope again elastic springs, unconquered though she fell. Still buoyant are her golden wings, still strong to bear us well. Manfully, fearlessly, the day of trial bear, gloriously, victoriously, can courage quell despair. End poem. That's a lovely poem, Deb. I really like that. I haven't read it before either. It's a really cool poem.
Oh, really good, really good read.
So, and let me have a quick look on the board. Heather's going to call us back. It's no problems at all. I had a response poem. Sweet. Can I read that and then we'll do yours?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well,
wait, repeat that. Did you just say you have a response poem?
I do, but not one I've written. Don't you think I've written?
I only just posted this. How did you manage that? But okay, sorry.
No. I've gone and found a classic poem in response to your poem that you just posted. And it has to, of course, be by Walt Whitman. This is Walt Whitman. There was a child went forth. And it goes a bit like this. There was a child went forth every day, and the first object he looked upon, that object he became. And that object became part of him for the day, or a certain part of the day, or for many years, or stretching cycles of years. The early lilacs became part of this child, and grass and white and red morning glories, and white and red clover, and the song of the Phoebe bird, and the third month lambs, and the sow's pink faint litter, and the mare's foal and the cow's calf, and the noisy brood of the barnyard, or but a mire upon the side, and the fish suspending themselves so curiously below, and the beautiful, curious liquid, and the water plants with their graceful flat heads, all became part of him. The field sprouts of 4th month and 5th month became part of him. Winter grain sprouts and those of the light yellow corn, and the esculent roots of the garden, and the apple trees covered with blossoms, and the fruit afterward, the wood berries and the most commonest weeds by the road, and the old drunkard staggering home from the outhouse of the tavern whence he had lately risen, and the schoolmistress that passed on her way to the school, and the friendly boys that passed, and the quarrelsome boys and the tidy and fresh-cheeked girls, and the barefoot boy and girl, and all the changes of city and country wherever he went. His own parents, he that had fathered him, and she that had conceived him in her womb and birthed him. They gave this child more of themselves than that. They gave him afterward every day. They became part of him. The mother at home quietly placing dishes on the supper table. The mother with mild words, clean her cap and gown, a wholesome odour, falling off her person and clothes as she walks by the father, strong-willed, self-sufficient, manly, meet angered, unjust. The blow, the quick loud word, the tight bargain, the crafty lure, the family usages, the language, the company, the furniture, the yearning, the swelling heart, affection that will not be gainsaid, the sense of what is real, the thought if after all it should prove unreal, the doubts of daytime and of night, the curious whether and how. Whether that which appears so is so, or is it all that flashes and specks, men and women crowding fast in the streets? If they are not flashes and specks, what are they? The streets themselves, the facades of houses, the goods in the windows, vehicles, teams, the walls, the huge crossing at the ferries, the village on the higher land seen from afar at sunset, the river between. Shadows are all they amidst, the light falling on roofs, and gables of white or brown 3 miles off. The schooner nearby, sleepily dropping down the tide, the little boat, slack-toed astern. The hurrying, tumbling waves, quick broken quests, slapping the strata of coloured clouds, the long bar of maroon tint, away solitary by itself, the spread of purity that lies motionless in the horizon's edge. Flying sea crow, the fragrance of sea marsh and shore mud. These became part of that child who went forth every day and who now goes and will always go forth every day. In poem.
I hadn't heard that one. That was pretty damn good.
You like that one?
Uh-huh.
I reckon he's got something. I always like Walt Whitman. He's just got, I don't know. Sweet. Did you want to put your poem on the board for us, please?
I do. But first I want to say, what a beautiful set of poems. It's so cool to go back and just listen to life before us, before technology and all of that, just to, you know, between the two, to walk on the edge of history and, you know, just be a part of that, something that we think was simple but was so much harder than what we do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just really cool to think about, you know, we think we have it so hard and life is so difficult, but it's really, really not when we think about all the things that really went on and what they had to do and things like that. And I really love the Walt Whitman. I that was just gorgeous. And you read both of them so very, very well.
Thank you. I do enjoy reading older poems.
Yeah.
For some reason, I do.
Is Hatter back or did he not come back yet?
Good question. He's not back as yet, sweet.
Okay, so that would have changed what poem I read, but this is one I'm going to read. This is called Truck Stop Cologne.
Ooh.
Truck Stop Cologne. The building was wearing a brand of Truck Stop Cologne, a mix of diesel, bacon grease, coffee, and hardworking folks. The complexity of simplicity and self-contained city, humming in ghost notes. Patrons pay little attention to the imps and the wizards running between the walls, dashing behind showers and restaurants, tea stores and gas pumps, all trying to keep up with the business. A sinister wind was blowing a curse over the truck stop one eve. I, the HR advisor, was chasing shadows of malice creatures. My phone kept buzzing. I was chasing demons across 3 acres. Steam was coming out of a waitress at Station 5. Trucker Jim was covered in mustard, so I had to ask why. Well, Jim, I replied, with an ass slap. You're lucky I found you alive. Next came a call that didn't surprise me at all. Lizards were found in the shower stall. The raid spray to keep those bugs away is carried by the law. The worst of it came in a frame of 5'2" and blue eyes, running from a man 6.5 feet tall and full of lies. She grabbed me in the hall. I'm a runaway. Hide me, she cried. The rest were made and a child was saved. What a night. You don't work in truck stops. You live a life under a different light. End poem.
Wow, that's fun. I've got quite a bit to say about this one too, but I'm going to go to Deb first. Deb, would you mind a few words about sweets, please?
Yeah. I like all the little details. A sinister wind was blowing a curse over the truck stop, and steam was coming out of the waitress at Station 5. Not coming out of Station 5. It was coming out of that waitress. She must have been an awful waitress to deserve that. The worst of it came in a frame of 5'2" and blue eyes running from a man 6.5 feet tall and full of lies. She grabbed me in the hall. I am a runaway. Hide me, she cried. I love this, like, mini story that you have going here. And what a cool title, too, my sweet. And this is fabulous, but my question is, if Hatter was here, were you going to read Skittles?
Yes, I was.
Just curious. Amazing poem.
Thank you.
Thank you, Deb. I can talk sweet because I spent 12 months of my early career as a relief truck stop manager. I had a Toyota Hilux Ute, and that took me from the middle of New South Wales to the upper echelons of Queensland, which is about a three-day drive from south to north, if you look at it in one piece, and everywhere in between. And people would go off on holidays or they would be unwell, and I would step in to run one of the 22 truck stops in our network that we had in that geography at short notice. And I was aged 23, and I learnt an incredible amount from the staff in the different areas, whether it was food or whether it was the front fueling desk, or even in some cases they had hotels from the hotel desk. The staff in total, because of the 24-hour, 7-day-a-week operations, got up to 60 or 70 at some of these bigger sites. So it was a real learning. These people knew what they were doing. They were professionals at what they did. Truck drivers were the same. They were professionals at what they did, and they were bloody good at it. I learned a hell of a lot. And it's an amazing world, and I think what you did in this poem is open that door and shed a light on, you know, what actually happens, and I think you've done it amazingly well. So well done.
If you don't mind, I'd love to read my author's notes to just kind of finish up that.
Please.
I worked for a truck stop company for 3 years, and this was one of the most complicated nights of my career. Because it is a very true story. Overall, it was a bustling city with hundreds of things going on at the same time, with amazing working men and women coming and going, needing a place to have a hot shower, a hot meal, and some time to rest. Everyone should be thankful for those who haul product across our highways, because without them, we would not be able to operate commerce or have simple things like toothpaste in our hands. I kind of did the same thing you did. I worked anywhere from Redding, California, to Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
I always went in and turned around the bad worlds. But I went in, obviously, as human resources versus versus operations and things like that. It is literally a different world. They are full-fledged cities. You have everything that everyone needs. Some of them have, you know, salons and hotels and just everything. And these people that are literally working their asses off to bring products from trains and ships and get them in the right stores, this is where they go to rest, relax, eat, shower, sleep, and it's everything. And they deserve a lot of credit for what they do and some of the people that work in these places. And they get dogged and they get treated like they're not even doing, and they work hard.
They do. They do. And some of those shifts can be super busy. It's amazing the amount of stuff that's sitting in the shop that people will, you know, purchase. And it's amazing. As you said, it's the whole world that I wasn't familiar with and became familiar with very quickly. I agree with your comments and your respect for the people who do it.
Thank you.
Okie doke. Well, thanks for hanging out. And we will catch up, I'm sure, very soon.
Yes.
So,
as you can hear, I've got people that want to go outside, but it's like snowing and raining, and it's not going to be pleasant for me.
Okay. Well,
it's
all the best.
It's snowing.
Enjoy.
Yeah, it's a little bit snowy. But it's Colorado in the spring.
Thank you, sweet. Right. And then on the other line we have coming in, I believe, my friend Purple Chaos. Well, Chaos X Purple, sort of somewhat purple.
Hello.
Or near purple. Hi, how are you?
Doing okay. How about yourself?
Excellent. I'm very, very well. Thank you for asking. Oh, very well. So I'm waiting for Hatter to return. If he sees you on the board, I'm sure he'll race back with great speed, Chaos, because he's going to be blown away if you are there and he isn't. You know, it's going to upset him no end. So I'm figuring that he will be returning promptly now that you're with us.
I'm having a little trouble hearing. I don't know if it's my phone or...
Oh, well, yeah, look, I can hear you, but maybe, do you want to give us a quick buzz back? Hey, I'll try a new line.
I was going to say, I can hear you both very clearly.
Yeah. So, but if you're having trouble hearing us, Chaos, but please call back and we'll see if we can get a better line for you.
Okay, I'll call right back.
Okay, thanks.
Cool. So, AP, look in your topic board for tonight. And I just want you to note that it won't let me erase the poems still that were there from last week. So if you see a butterfly, then it needs to be done for tonight.
Okay.
And I'll take the butterflies away as you do it, and maybe that'll, because it's aggravating me that I can't delete those links.
Okay. And so, okay, that's cool. Well, if that's the case, we might grab Heavenly Angel's poem and put that up and sort of go down the line from there. How does that look, Deb? Is that okay?
That works for me.
Okay, let's go and put that in. And at the same time, let's see. I catch you again, Chaos. Can you hear me this time?
Yeah, I can hear you better this time.
Sounds good. And, you know, I said, if you tear it up, chaos that Hatter would not be far away. Hatter, are you back with us?
I'm back. I'm back.
Ha ha! Ha ha! Well, there you go.
Hello, Hatter.
Okay, excellent. Now,
aye.
Now, Chaos, do you have a poem that you wanted to put on the board before I do anything else?
I do have a poem. I just, I can't do anything myself. I did get it typed in, but that's...
Just tell me what it's called.
No. Let us know which one it is, and we'll grab it.
It's In a Garden of Demons, What Flowers Do You Pick? The very first poem on my list.
Got it.
Uh-huh. Beautiful. Sounds a great title. It's like Walt Whitman all over. Okay. Chaos, we are with you.
I'm sorry?
Please read your poem.
Let me go ahead and read it?
Yes.
Okay. In a garden of demons, what flowers do you pick? I kneel on bloody knees, stained glass freedom shattered on the ground all around me, pieces of once bright spectrum of emotions lay dull in their landing, the determination that held them together, unseen in the shadows. Silver waves curtain my face as cold, the cold wind of numb comes to call. Unshed tears sit to decide if it is worth the fall. My demons dance neon, an eye-catching array of twirling colors in the darkness, alluding to an older time when I could feel the colors and breathe the night, temptations whispering sensations that can fill the void and bring knowing back to the numb. I look to the heavens. I question my hell. Of course there's no answer. The stars never tell. Should I raise my hands once more for grace? Or pick a partner from this place.
Isn't that lovely? I always love it when you pop by. To heavens, I question my hell. Of course, there's no answer. The stars never tell. Isn't that lovely? Just beautiful. Really, really like it. Poignant, lovely. Just, yeah, beautifully written. Hatter. Do you want to say a few words about chaos, please?
Yeah, I really liked it. I like how you went with the uncomfortable of where you find yourself, and should you just become accustomed to it, or like you said at the end, should I pick a partner from this place? It's I guess it's a sort of settling. But a choice. I think everybody goes through that at some point. Very, very good, Cass.
And thanks, Hatter. And Dick, what did you think of Chaos's piece?
I think it's awesome. My demons dance neon, an eye-catching array of twirling colors in the darkness. I love the visuals and the thought of that there. And feel the colors and breathe the night. Temptations whispering sensation, they can fill the void and bring knowing to the numb. That's pretty powerful. It takes power to bring knowing to the numb. So I think this is pretty deep, dear heart. Great share.
Thank you.
That's really cool, Cass. Thank you. Thank you for calling me. Thank you for writing that piece. So if you got time to listen to a few poems, perhaps?
Sure. I can stay for a little bit.
Excellent. I'm going to suggest that we do Hatter next, Hatter, because I know you've got a poem on the board. And my only question to you is, do you want to read your poem, or did you want to have me read it for you?
Yeah, I'll pimp it out. Yeah, my eyes aren't real good today. You can go ahead and read
it,
please.
Okay. No, I'll
when you get a chance, AP, look in your inbox.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I'm happy to do Marius and Quicken directly after that, Deb. How's that?
Cool.
Perfect. Okay. What? Oh, well, first Hatter, because this is your poem called The Clown, back from, oh, Christ, what, about 7 years ago, March 2017. So it goes a little bit like this. I watched a clown with nothing left, a painted smile so he could hide, a life of sorrow that he kept, wasting away inside. Dressed in polka dot pyjamas and oversized floppy shoes, with memories of what once was, painting the sky a shade of blue. No smiling, happy face, behind a multicolored grin. I watched the tears begin to trace, then roll off his trembling chin. The maddening storms that were to behold of yesterday's parades. Heartache in the fables to be told. The clown wastes away. I saw the world through a looking glass, praying it could not be. The tortured face behind the mask assuredly was me. A life of fogged up angry mirrors and a rain that never ends. Countless days and endless nights with a love I could not mend. End poem.
Thank you, AP.
That's a really cool piece, Adam. I really like that. I was going to say it's got an assonance and a rhyme pattern. It's almost like a metronome. It's got lovely cadence through the poem. Just sort of rings like a bell as you go through it. It's lovely. Chaos, did you want to say a few words about that poem? Hello, Chaos. You might be on mute. Showing me you're still here and I can't hear you, which is not good. Deb, did you just say a few words?
Yeah, like I often do, I went to see what I wrote, and Hatter, I still think that is a amazing stanza. No smiling, happy face behind a multicolored grin. I watched the tears begin to trace, then roll off this trembling chin. That's just like a wow stanza. Just the visual of the tears is sad, but this one is amazing how to rhyme, and it was really cool that you went and dug this one out. I like it.
Thank you, Deb.
I wrote this song.
Hey, cool.
1971.
That's fun.
You know, the mathematicians will work out. That was 38 years ago.
What happened?
I can't believe that. This is how old this song is.
I don't know.
And I wrote it after I saw my first...
I know. Something strange happened and it now stopped. Anyway.
Hello.
It was applause. Hello. Chaos. How are you?
I was muted. Ha-ha.
There you go. Did you want to say a few words about Hatter's piece?
I was looking for a Wi-Fi signal because the weather, I think it's the weather here, has my phone acting crazy.
Okay.
So I was
okay.
looking for a Wi-Fi signal so I could actually read it. I finally found one in the corner of the kitchen. I don't have internet, so I steal internet from my sister. So, I don't think I've ever read that.
Yeah.
I love the descriptions in this. The maddening storms that were to behold on yesterday's parade. Heartache and fables to be told. The crown wastes away. It's so sad. It's like he's got the face painted on, but all behind the mask is just the sadness. I really love this, Heather. This is just wonderfully done. You know me, I love the sad poetry. It's beautifully painted. I love this.
Thank you, Chaos. Yeah, if I remember right, we were discussing when did a clown makeup end up being a sad clown, you know, rather than a smiling bozo type. Long time ago.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah. Thank you.
Good fun to read your piece. And I think that we have a couple of people listening to the show as we speak, and I think one of those is Marius Alexandru. So I was going to read his poem entitled Spring next, and it goes a little bit like this. After so much cold and haze, the sun is showing on the street. No more icy, chilly days, no more frozen nose and feet. With daffodils, lilies and lotuses in bloom, the warm weather is so near, but new spring, I presume. It's just a copy every year. Under the porch, on the wild vine, right after the bell passed, it came to rest a tiny fly, to dry its legs at last. Migratory birds return from the tropics one by one. The insects lay their eggs and yearn in the warmth of the shining sun. Everyone is singing in the garden without a break. Two roosters are almost fighting for no reason, by mistake. A turkey sits up on a beam, giving all the hassle. The red wattle dangles from him, soft as a cushy tassel. Groovy, the old dog, is broken-hearted, does not have with what to gnaw the bones. Since Lent started, he only sighs and groans. The poor dog, for his suffering, who to ask for damages? Right under his nose, the cat meowing, cruel savages. But the dog caught him by chance and shakes him in distress. A butterfly passes in a dance over this big tangled mess. On the sidewalk, two girls' glee raises me new temptations to leave behind all cares and to be free, to find new inspirations in poem. And, I should say, a free translation of the poem Primavera by George Topisanu. I hope I've done that right. And Babel is a popular Romanian tradition. The story of spring renewal after a harsh winter is used to forecast the future of farming activities in the countryside. There you go. Thank you for that and that clarity too, Marius. Yeah. What did you want to say about this poem?
You know, I call this one of the all senses poem because it's got like amazing visuals. And you can just sit back and listen to the words and be brought in to the scene. And then you can almost smell things and hear the like the dog or the people on the sidewalk making noise and stuff like that. It was just awesome. And then, of course, he added that a butterfly passes in a dance over this big tangled mess. So that is a gorgeous image. And then somewhere in there, I can't find them right now, there were daffodils. And, you know, so it was just like such a beautiful piece of art. And you read it great, too.
Thanks, Steph. That's a great comment. What did you think, Kyle?
Oh, I agree. This is it's got so many of the senses involved. It's got all the sights and you can almost feel the temperature in this, the colors of the flowers and the it's like everything in here. It's like you're sitting there watching all of this. It's so well done. Very beautiful poem.
Thank you, Patch. That's a great comment. And Hannah, what did you think?
Yeah, I like the poem. The rhyming was very familiar. It tickled that feather in my ear. It was really familiar. But I love the authors in the author's notes, what you had read, and after that, the tradition of picking one day from the 1st to the 9th of March. Let me make sure I got that right. The 1st to the 9th of March, and wait to see how it turns out. If it's sunny and clear, you'll be happy. If it's cloudy and dark, yeah, you should expect some problems. I wonder if this is anything, the Ides of March. It was a tradition in Romania.
Yeah.
I wonder if it overlaps at all. Very, very well done.
Really interesting, and I agree that author's note was really helpful and useful to make sense of the piece. So thank you to Marius, and thank you for listening with us. Now, Deb, I've got a question for you, because the next poet that I was going to put up on the board, I think actually sent us a couple of poems.
I had to go ahead and grab one. So I just which grabbed the first one, and then I downloaded the recording.
So we're going to do Fragments of You next by Quicken. And he has sent us a SoundCloud, which is fantastic, because we love to hear the poets in their own voices where possible. So this is the SoundCloud that Quicken has sent to us.
Fragments of You by Quicken.
Hey, Bucko. It's your dad checking in. Listen, you may not be there for every moment anymore, but I want you to know how proud I am of you.
Dad, the depth of pain I've been feeling since you left us, it's so deep. So all-consuming. It's nothing like a scratch. It feels like a constant, relentless gouging out of my very core. Every time I hear a recording of your voice, as if the chisel is laboriously carving into my spirit, opening up caverns that quickly fill with raw grief. This grief, it's sharp, Dad. Like walking on shards of glass, and it's suffocating like smoke in an enclosed space, stealing my breath away. Your voice, which used to be my comfort, my lullaby in quieter time, now triggers such deep pain. My body reacts in ways I can't control. My chest tightens, my heart erratic and loud, sinking with the tremors of my uneven breath. It's like being submerged in icy waters, a shot as painfully clear. Hearing your laughter, your sighs, the familiar cadence of your pauses, it all feels so distant and desperately needed. There's this painful cycle of yearning to hear just a bit more, and yet needing it to end, to stop before it breaks me. Each word you spoke, now just a memory, had such a weight, pressing down until the very foundations of my strength start to give way. I try to hold it together, Dad, but this pain, it shows itself. Shows my family the cracks in what I thought was an unbreakable facade. They see it, their looks of confusion and dawning understanding. They reflect the cruel truth that grief doesn't just fade. It morphs, filling new spaces with a sadness that's tough to explain. This isn't just about missing the sound of your voice, Dad. It's about all those moments we're missing, having conversations we'll never have, advice you'll never get to give, milestones you won't be here to see. Each inflection in your voice that I remember is a harsh reminder that these recordings are just shadows, incapable of filling the reoccurring emptiness you've left behind. I miss you so much, Dad, more than I can ever express. Every day without you is a reminder of what you meant to me and how much I've lost. But I hold on to this thin thread of hope that somehow you might know all this. Somewhere you understand you're still deeply loved and sorely missed every single day. I love you, Dad. Frankie, signing off.
Hey, Frankie. So keep going. Keep laughing. Keep remembering I'm right there with you, in spirit and in love. And now, whenever you miss me, kiddo, just play this old message and know I'm sending you a big hug and all my love. Take care and don't forget, you're never really alone, kiddo. I love you. Dad signing off.
Well, there you go. It's a lovely poem. A beautiful message, and it just makes a huge difference when you have the poet that's written the piece and is connected to the piece, particularly in this case, because clearly, you know, you have this beautiful connection and emotional connection to the words reading the poem. So thank you. Deb, what did you think?
I'm almost speechless. It's an awesome poem. I like the back and forth. I like the tenderness, the love, that the emotion is like overwhelming. And like I think you just mentioned, it's one of those poems that would not have been anywhere near the same had he not recorded it. And I like the fact that he has, like, the response, hey, Frankie, so keep going, keep laughing, and keep remembering. I'm right there.
Yeah.
And you know, to sit and read this, and I would have been trying to fight tears, so he did an amazing job putting it into words and recording.
And great choice of music in the background too, for the record. And also I should say, Chaos has dropped. I know she's been having some trouble getting hold of reception and lines, but thank you, Chaos, for dropping by. Hannah, did you want to say some words about this piece?
Yeah, wow. You know, it brought back the feeling of loss when my dad passed. And I remember when my mom died, I cried and cried, but 15 years earlier when my dad passed, it was the first time that I realized how the world can change, and mine certainly did. When, you know, and how much do you want, or what would you give to have one more day with him?
Yes.
Knowing the feelings that will show up when you do lose them. So very good.
Yes, it was. Absolutely, it was, Hatter. It was a beautiful piece of poetry and beautifully read. I thought I'd actually go next to the poem that Lorien has sent, because it's exactly a similar theme. And so this is A Requiem for My Memory by Lorien Montanay, and I thank you, Lauren, for supporting the show as always. And this piece goes a little bit like this. If you are listening to the voices of my dirge, know that I am truly no longer alive. amongst the mortal beings that survive, as my ashes will triumphantly emerge to the mournful sounds that play beside the notes of musical harmony, to uplift my soul and erase my agony and guide me into the sky to fly away. Do not mourn daily my somber death, but be joyous that I am not miserable. And I do not want you to be commiserable. I am at peace within the mortal breath. If this is a requiem for my wistful memory, let my death serve as a lasting allegory. In poem. There you go, Hatter. Almost the same theme in a slightly different way. And in a ABBA with a finishing tercet, just for the fun of it. What did you think, Hatter?
Yeah, well constructed. I mean, I think I've mentioned before this poet knows how to write poetry. He's figured it out.
He does.
And it is similar to the one we just read before. I'm wondering if there was any connection or a contest or such, because it hit it too. I mean, I'm just not quite wounded from the one before, but this is well done also.
Yeah, agreed. Really interesting. Brett put another one up the board too that's very similar. Deb, what did you think?
I think that this is a gorgeous requiem, and I think that the one part, as my ashes will triumphantly emerge to the mournful sounds that play, the silver notes of musical harmony, to uplift my soul and erase my agony, then guide me into the sky to fly away. I think that is fabulous. Great remedy.
Well, there you go. It's amazing. Sometimes these programs just find a theme, and it's interesting how it happens like that sometimes. And then I've got the piece by Jenny the Deep that I've put on the board called "Death Grips My Hand." There you go. Sort of seems to follow along, and so that poem goes a little bit like this. I know you hate reading, so I'll be quick. I love you. And I'm sorry, my head is sick. My life, sorry I didn't say goodbye. Sorry I finally succeeded at taking my life. I tried, I really did. Stay alive for you. And yes, of course, a darling Trinity too. The reality is my mind is feeble and flawed. Mentally it just hurts too much. Oh my God, what's the point anymore if love between us is soon out the door? I know you won't forgive me like you can't my mum. But with this facade, I can't go on. I don't expect you to understand that even in death, you'll always be my man. And this is mixed in the author's notes. It says, inspired by a mix of all the song prompts. So, again, a very similar theme. Hatter, what did you think of this piece by Jenny?
Oh, my, wow. I was a little speechless. The hole in my heart right now is just draining.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
Amazing. Deb, what did you think of this piece by Jenny?
Especially the reality is my mind is feeble and flawed. Mentally, it just hurts too much. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What's the point anymore? Between us is soon at the door. It's another powerfully emotional piece. And the back-to-back emotion is pretty potent.
Can almost
feel it in the room. Yeah.
An amazing set of poems. And I'm going to break that sort of cycle now, so I'm going to put my poem up. This is slightly different sense in this one. And it's called One Night, from a whole hour ago. And it goes a little bit like this. Many of the years of working hours where planes are caught before dawn, rolls of bills that money devours, and it's easy to believe you're a pawn to the vice of a chessboard, where many squares but few are free, little that you can then afford, despite the possibilities once you see. While it only takes the one night to realise that in traversing the board, a future ahead burns bright, a lesson for others also clearly a chord. And you reflect as a single piece that has ultimate freedom to move. Past steps enabled a release, endeavour and passion the groove. In poem. It's quite philosophical. Hatter?
I'm rereading the beginning of it because I sort of came in the door late here. What was the inspiration, if I may ask?
That is a very good question, Heather. I went out and had dinner with my kids last night and had a fantastic sort of steak dinner. And it was one of those nights where sort of everything came together beautifully. And one of those truly sort of memorable nights where everybody's incredibly happy in a really good spot. And it was quite inspiring, actually, to be honest. And I just sort of it's difficult sometimes when you're in the midst of like a chessboard and there's all the pieces on it and you're not quite sure how things are going to work out. And then sometimes you're lucky and like a pawn, you get to the other end of the chessboard and you become a queen and you see the board very differently and you realise that things have actually worked out. It's really interesting.
That's cool. Thank you.
It is. Very, very cool. Doesn't happen too often, Hatter. But, just a fantastic evening where, it just was affirming on every level. It was really fantastic. That's why I wrote it. Good question. That was sort of the background to writing the piece.
Yeah, it makes the. You should put that in the AN, the author's notes. It does explain it a little better. And you're right. To have everybody in a good place at the same time, it can be rare. Usually somebody's going through something at some time.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. And that just wasn't that last night. It was just, one of those nights. So, there you go. So, Deb, did you want to say a few words about this one?
Yes. I liked it all the way through, of course, and I liked the I can't think of the word, where you like the chessboard term, whatever, with the piece and how things are moved and how they change. But the part that really stands out and to me speaks volumes, it says a future ahead burns bright, lessons for others. Also clearly a chord, and then starting the next one, and you reflect as a single piece that has ultimate freedom to move. I think, like I said, those four lines speak volumes.
Yeah, I mean, thanks, Steph. Yeah, look, I think you can. You can get yourself to a place which is a beautiful place if you have a bit of luck and you do a fair bit of hard work. And sometimes they come together, and last night was one of those nights. It was just, as I said, just a really, really special sort of evening. So, and, you know, I hope for those people listening that they get that opportunity as well, because it's amazingly powerful. So, there you go. That was my last night. I'm going to move on, and I've got a piece up on the board. I've sort of circled around. It's taken me about an hour, Heavenly Angel, if you were listening before, but I'm back to your piece, called By Heavenly Angel. And it goes a little bit like this. The peace and solitude of experiencing a honey-bronzed West Texas sunset, a true gift of beauty from the Almighty. Enpom. So how's that? A nice little brevity. Hatter, what did you think of Heavenly Angel's piece?
Yeah, you know, usually people are bitching that those windmills are in their horizon.
Yes.
I like it. She changed it. It's a beautiful thing. It's just
yes.
A little different than the norm. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Deb, what did you think?
I thought that for a poem that had to be 20 words, she brought it there.
Yeah.
The peace and solitude of experience, a honey bronze West Texas sunset. Just that part, you start to imagine the image there. And it's beautiful, the sun setting in the background that, with orange and tangerine tones with gold in the middle. It's a very pretty place.
It is. Very pretty. And you know, really appropriate for the show. So thank you for sending it to us. Heavenly Angel, it's appreciated. Now, I have to go, I think, Deb. And one of those is by a great supporter of our show, and that is Titus Leon. He shared with us a poem called Just Snow, a far more touching scene. And as always, he's sent us a SoundCloud, which is incredibly helpful. So I'm going to play that right now.
Just Snow. A far more touching scene. Didst raise above upon which slept a snow-white dove, for which 'twas kept within me deep. For how long snow shall wholly keep the status quo? Afar from touch I do explore. This much is such to sweet adore the deep duck down. A spurred, a suave, more soothing gown of silk would solve. Intrepid dreams, love-lorn drifting, snow, sultry themes, show uplifting, not in absence, moving tales as those whose alliance said silence chose. White as the snow doth lay its qualms around me, show how deep love calms the balmy air. Of spring it shall be winter, spare no weight, morale.
See, that's a really interesting piece, Titus, and quite different from your works that I've sort of read before, because it's the line length is quite small and quite clipped, and yet at the same time you have that sort of beautiful sound of the birds in the background, and reminding me very much of where I am at the minute in minding a house for my aunt surrounded by birds. And it sort of has that sort of lovely sort of sense of connection to your place, and I've got the doors all closed so you can't hear the birds, but they're not dissimilar to what you had in the background there, which was lovely. So thank you for sharing that with us. Deb, did you want to say a few words?
Yeah, I agree. It's got the tight little stanzas, which is a different style. I think that it's a beautiful poem, like within me, deep. For how long snow shall wholly keep the status quo? But what stuff, where is it? In the last stanza, wait as the snow doth lay its qualms around me, show how deep love calms the balmy air of spring. It shall be winter, spare, no wait, morale. But just brilliant wording. So it's like, you know, and then he gives you his read of it, which gives it a whole new dimension. And it's just, I don't want to keep still on the lines, but moving tales as those whose alliance said, silence chose. Excellent.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, brilliant piece. And Hannah, did you want to say a few words about Titus's piece?
Yeah, you know, with Titus, the way he writes, I've got to read it twice, just the way my mind doesn't pick up everything that he's trying to say. And what I realized in this one, I almost don't have to, because he's able to create the feeling just with the words as he's reading it. I know it probably doesn't make a lot of sense, but that's a very crafty, that I don't see in many
well
other
crafted
poets at all. Yes, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely it is. And it's using words and sort of creating a space for them to manifest and grow larger. It's a beautiful way that he writes. So thank you, Titus. It's always wonderful to have you here on the show and supporting the show. Now, Deb, am I right to say that I think you've got a poem on the board and that would be the final poem for the night?
That is true. I brought a little brevity.
Lovely.
And
on the board now.
Oh. Okay, since I don't get to write for the paint out this year.
You don't.
And this picture.
You don't.
Yeah. This picture.
She's a judge.
Yeah.
She's a judge.
And there's still spots open, everyone. Grab a spot before it's too late. There's like 5 or 6 more days to write.
But,
can you reserve?
Can we,
did you say,
not too
did you say can
go.
You reserve? I'm sorry.
Yes. Yes.
You can head up. You can.
Okay.
Yes. So, and I'd encourage all of our group members to get in and have a go. You know, there's 1 million points there, and there aren't many competitions where you can get 1 million points. Simple as that. It's a great competition, and Deb has used one of the images, and it's a beautiful image. Yeah.
Thank you. And this is by the artist Michelle Held. And over the years, I've written to a handful of her art. And this is the painting is of a swan with their wings outstretched, and it's capturing all the golds and coppers and yellows from the sun. And it's called Michelle Held, A Swan Song. And here we go. Dawn's bird song signal the light, and the sun climbs up, then shines as yellow gold kisses white wings reflected off the lake's rippled lines. She'll dance today in a water ballet, two webbed feet paddle upstream, and the males eye up all her moves, lost in a sweet waterfowl daydream. End poem.
Isn't that really, really cute? And there's something really lovely about the gold and the caramel and the richness of the colours in that painting. And I think that's become very popular, Deb, to respond to already in the competition. And you can see why, because it's a beautiful image. And I really like the way that you've Hedda, what did you think of Deb's piece?
Thank you.
Yeah, beautiful, Deb. My many years on the farm opened my eyes to one thing, the dedication and true, for lack of a better word, love of a partner, geese and swans that we had on Chicken Mountain would show it. And this very bucketed it very well. Thank you, Deb.
Thank you, Hatter.
Okey-dokey. Well, Deb, did you want to say a few words about what's coming up on the Team of Voices in the next little while, now that we've got our studio back and we're up and running with Blog Talk? Yeah? Scary. Right.
Well, how about if we start with the fact that tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Eastern or noon in Australia, we will have the Rain Date show for the annual Anzac Day special with you, A.P. Taylor. And there's some really cool art from the children in Australia to choose from to tickle your muse and write for that one. And then on Monday, we are on the second to the last of the color series. The color this week is red, and that is Monday night at 10 p.m. And then on Tuesday night, we can all be a fly on the wall as Hatter and Gress and Wayne and Raconteur sit and compare notes and come up with amazing ways to make us all laugh on the monthly comedy show. So you can just dial up and listen to them and enjoy. I can't even imagine how it's going to be with these four in the room. So that should be a very interesting night. And on Wednesday night, we have Ms. Sky Darkholm. And I don't something tells me that that's the wrong date, and it should say, that's definitely the wrong date. Okay, I don't know which one. We had the problems with the studio, so I don't know which one she's going to make up first. But keep an eye out for Sky. And then on Thursday night, since Sweet Pea got shut out of the studio, we will stop in for some open darkness. She says, "Let me hear you scream." And that's at 10 o'clock on Thursday. And then we are at Strange World with Jay Hatter, 9 o'clock Friday night. And then back here with you, AP, on Saturday night next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.
When in doubt, too much AP is never enough. So I'll be back tomorrow. And I was going to say, have we got a name for the Tuesday once a month show?
I think that'll be something that Hatter, that the four guys toss around and like. Hatter, is that how, am I understanding it right? You're going to do a powwow and make some decisions.
The first one will be some clips of comics to set it off. But it's been tough trying to get everybody together at the same time to discuss what we have on our, what we plan on our head. So I figure we'll just do that the first time instead of trying to force something we're not ready for. No.
Makes sense, Hatter. I've got a suggestion for you, though.
Sure.
Blokes with jokes.
Blokes with jokes. We were going to discuss what we're going to call it, too. I'll throw that up there.
Yeah? Yeah, well, that's just my suggestion. But anyway, so thank you to Deb and to Hatter for hanging out through the show and the chaos and sweep. For calling in, and of course, to all those poets who support the show, not just this week, but most weeks, in Jenny and Laura and all of the wonderful work from Titus, and it's just wonderful to have, you know, those groups of people, Quicken now, who's been on the last number of shows, that help support the program, and in particular, you know, bring sound clouds so that we can hear the poems in their own voices, and Heavenly Angel, who always pops up and drops a great poem in. And so, yeah, it's great to say thank you to all of those people who support the show. And Marius was there this week listening as well, so thank you. And so, yeah, no, great show. And we're back. I'm back tomorrow for the Anzac Day special, so I'm not far away. And then we're back next week with the Open Poetry Show. So thank you to everybody. And I'm going to play a pretty cute little song by Alphabet.
You have
to. Hold on. Are we okay?
No, no,
yeah.
I had a request for a song, but you have one chosen. It's all good.
I have. I thought, you know, we've had a number of interesting sort of pieces go between us, and there's a song by Alphaville called Forever Young that I was thought I'd finish with, Deb, sort of fitted. So,
cool. Well,
I was thinking
that Westlake Dad that you, that sounds awesome.
Okay, well, I'm going to, Westlake Dad's a good choice, actually, but I am going to go with Alphaville, Forever Young. And we will
awesome.
See you for this show next time, and I'll see you tomorrow for the Anzac Day special. So thank you again, everybody, and we will talk very soon. Here we go with Alphaville. Well, that's pretty fantastic with a background mic. Hello, everybody, again, and I will catch you on the radio tomorrow for the Anzac Day special. Thanks, Deb. Thanks, Hatter, and we will talk very soon. Bye, everybody.
Great show.
Thanks,
Sophie.
Thanks, everybody. Cheers.